Welcome to Windy City Sports Talk, Chicagoland's number one podcast for all the latest news and in-depth analysis for the Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs, and White Sox. This podcast features exclusive news and expert analysis from well-known Chicago sports reporters and broadcasters. You will also feel the passion and emotions during conversations with other diehard sports fans. Other unique sports topics such as virtual reality and video games are explored as well. It's now time to talk Windy City Sports. Hello and welcome to Windy City Sports Talk. Man, it's been a while, but it's good to be back. Had to step away for a couple of weeks to take care of some things, some good things. So now it's time to return and go back to the traditional. Let's talk about what the Bears did wrong now. We know how much of a disappointment this offseason has been so far. Haven't had the chance to talk about it, of course, but excited to do it today. And today is April Fool's Day, April 1st, and it's perfect because it just goes so well with how the Bears fooled us in the thinking, how everybody fooled us in the thinking, we fooled ourselves technically, of getting Russell Wilson as our quarterback. And what did we get instead? We got, boom, slapped with Andy Dalton. So, of course, that is going to be one of the things we talk about today, along with some of the other moves and where the roster sits as we now head towards the draft here in a couple of weeks. And, of course, in order to do a show like this, I have to bring in my longtime friend and usual co-host here for these talks, and that's Zach Kyleman. And before we get started, I want to just introduce Zach, bring him in here. Zach, thanks for joining. I know it's been a while. I told you I was going to get you on a million times this year, so this is the first of many probably. So how have you been, man?
Well, now I'm just counting down the card. So it's 999,999 more appearances that you were promising, and it's Yeah, April 1st, man, you got a bit to go. But look, well, I'm doing, for all intents and purposes, as myself, I'm fine. My inner Bears fan, not so fine. You're talking about how we were fooled. You know, one of my favorite songs by the Doobie Brothers is "What a Fool Believes," and I was believing that we were going to be landing Russell Wilson, and so here we are.
I told myself not to get hyped up for it, man. And I started to, you started seeing it on Twitter every 5 minutes. We were talking about it on our other show, the podcast we co-host together with our buddies, Yash and Cody, Beyond the Press Box. And it's just so much talk about it. And, you know, the proposed trade offers that people were talking about online and the media rumors and stuff is like, I succumbed to it and I fell into the hype.
Yeah, no kidding about that. I was right on the verge. Well, not on the verge. I bought in and said, man, we're going to get this guy. They're saying it all. It's done deal almost, or it sounds like it's going to be. Like they're going to give him the kitchen sink to the Seattle Seahawks, and we'll give them that just deal they can't pass up, which, you know, on paper they kind of did, except you have to factor in, do the Seahawks actually want to give away Russell Wilson, or do they feel like Russell's relationship with the front office is broken, which – I guess it's not, or they're playing the card they are with Deshaun Watson saying, well, we got your contract, so we don't really have to do anything yet. But
yeah, that is,
you know,
true.
That's what we're stuck with. You know, and unfortunately the consolidation prize, or the rushed patch job, is the Red Rifle himself, or the living version of Mr. Sun from the Christmas cartoons.
Yeah, call it a patch job. This is not a prize. Andy Dalton is not a prize. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, you're going to hear me talk about this a lot as we have this discussion, but like it's nothing against Andy Dalton. Look, the guy still wants to play professional football. He's got another opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. You can't blame him yourself. You know, there's, I have nothing against him. You know, I'm trying to tell other Bears fans that are getting ticked off with him. It's like, hey, he's got to do what he's got to do, put food on the table for his kids, and he wants to keep playing football. You know, I you can't blame him that the Bears, you know, this is the best the Bears could do. So it's no hatred towards him, just more disappointment with the McCaskey family. Like I said, Beyond the Press Box, another show that Zach and I co-host with our buddies Cody Emerson and Yash Petty. Actually, it was started off as our college radio show. I mean, that's how long it's been. Zach and I have known each other and have worked together for quite some time now doing shows and stuff like this. You could check out Beyond the Press Box on anywhere you find this podcast, anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, but most importantly on the Unhinged Sports Network. That's unhingedsn.com. Check it out. We have new podcasts that debut every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern time. And it's just a 24/7 network where we have like at least 15 or 16. I think there's even more. There's other specialty shows now, but we have over 15 different podcasts that play throughout every day, every week. And of course, we're on at different times too. If you happen to have trouble sleeping at 3 a.m., there's a good chance we may be on at 3 a.m. one of those days. Or if you're looking for a commute to work, but for sure you could check out new podcasts every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Also, Zach has his own podcast, Gridiron Gallery, where he talks nothing but football and football and football and more football, if I haven't mentioned that yet. Also, that can be heard on Unhinged Sports Network. So before we get into the show, Zach, you know, I always like to allow people that I have on come on and promote their stuff. So fire away, promote Gridiron Gallery and whatever the heck else you want. That will get the ball rolling here.
Yeah, man, let's get into this. So Gridiron Gallery, you know, you can find me on the Unhinged Sports Network. Also on, you know, usual social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at Grid Gallery Pod. And you can also find me on YouTube as well, which, by the way, Beyond the Press Box also just got a YouTube page. I recommend you subscribe to both of those in particular. And if you subscribe, you get notifications for when all new videos come out. And that's for across podcast platforms too. So, if you want to be in on the latest shows for both those shows, whether it's with me and Will or myself, I recommend you hit a subscribe somewhere or follow if you're an Apple Podcast. They decided to be weird about that, but whatever. It is what it is. You know, follow us. I'm good with that too. And we're mostly right now talking at least some bit of NFL free agency over my end. In particular, a league called the European League of Football, which to some people on the surface seems like the rebirth of NFL Europe. Hint, it's not. And there is also some talks with the CFL and XFL partnership that are really heating up. I got a great interview coming up for Friday, April 2nd. I'm going to be talking with a author by the name of Justin Dunk. He is an insider in the CFL landscape. He is the head author for Three Down Nation, which is the most popular CFL news article website in the CFL landscape of media. So recommend you check that one out too. Really good conversation, especially if you're interested in how the Canadian media and sports industries work compared to the US. Looking forward to that, you know, and it's, let's just say it's a much more enjoyable talk than talking about the Chicago Bears right now, because look, I love that. That conversation was fantastic, by the way, but, you know, look, coming into this, it's funny. I'm telling you, I'm like, I hope I don't come off as like this just angry old man every time we talk about the Bears. But it just seems to be they give us cannon fodder like every month to give us one new thing to complain about.
Well, if anything, it's good that we're doing this. I know I'm really delayed with putting out this episode, but you know what? Maybe it's good to talk about it a couple weeks later. We could laugh about it. Ha ha. It's April Fool's Day. I was excited when I woke up to him like, well, it's April 1st and we're doing this podcast today. Perfect. There's my theme. So, you know,
jokes on you, jokes on me, jokes on everybody in, my creative Chicagoland or Northwest Indiana, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or those that maybe are lucky enough to be a fan of other teams that just want to listen and sit back and relax, you know, that maybe they have Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback.
Listen to our train wreck, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure they get entertainment out of that too, but yeah, without further ado, we could get this ball rolling. I do want to say quickly though, I do dedicate this episode today to a good friend and mentor of mine, Mike Jacobson, for many of those that are from the Chicago area that listen to radio. He's most notably known for being the producer of the Cap and Haw show back in the day at WGN Radio. Also, he was the producer for the Steve Cochran show, and also he helped produce a couple of podcasts that are notable, a Blackhawks podcast that Scott King, formerly of NBC Sports Chicago, did a few years ago, and also the Hogan and John's podcast as well. He was the first producer for that show. Mike was gutted to learn a few days ago that Mike unexpectedly passed away earlier this month, and I just have to dedicate it to him, because also big reason why I am where I am today in the industry and also with this podcast, because he helped me set up this show when it was a radio show at the Illinois Media School at sportstownchicago.com. So just wanted to remember him a little bit, dedicate this to him. Definitely was a great help to me starting out my career. And again, directly relates to this show. It's still going strong. So I dedicate this show today to Mike Jacobson. I know he's probably laughing, thinking, oh boy, here's Will ranting about the Bears again, because he used to peek in on the shows and used to hear me complain about them, especially 2 years ago. So a lot of good times, and very grateful for his friendship and his mentorship, and you know, all the best to his family. But without further ado, Zach, let's get into it. And you know, the first thing I have to ask you about is Andy Dalton. He gets signed as the new quarterback. It's very interesting, because not only is he just getting brought into the mix, apparently he said in his press conference they offered him the starting job. So there's no quarterback competition between him and Foles. Maybe they draft another quarterback, still, you know, a rookie, but apparently there's no competition. It's Andy Dalton's job to start the season. And so I just want to get your overall thoughts on this whole thing that happened, where we went from thinking we're getting Wilson to we get nothing but Andy Dalton. And some people have actually even argued that maybe you were better off keeping Trubisky for at least another year and draft a guy, or wait until you see how next year pans out. I'm curious your thoughts on Andy Dalton being the new Bears QB and your thoughts on moving on from Trubisky. And heck, Trubisky is now going to back up Josh Allen in Buffalo now. So do you like the Andy Dalton signing, or should they have kept Trubisky? What are your overall thoughts on this situation?
For what it's worth, I think it was best that Mitch and the Bears kind of went their separate ways. I don't think Mitch would want to be around for another year of getting bashed or having uncertainty with his job again. Not to mention that him and Matt Nagy weren't at the best of terms at the end of 2019, and they most certainly were not at all at the best of terms in 2020 from what it looks like or what it sounded like. So to get that out of the way, yeah, he's more mobile than Andy Dalton. You might get similar arm talent, if you will. I actually argue Dalton might have a bit better of an arm than Trubisky when it comes to accuracy. If you give him a pocket, that's a key for him. Again, it's the same thing with Nick Foles, although I'd say Dalton's better than Foles, but you know, they're both pocket passers. You got to give him a good pocket to deliver a pass. And Dalton has a much better resume than Mitch, I would say, when given the right weapons and of course the right amount of time. For Mitch, just I'm glad he moved on. He's going to back up Josh Allen over in Buffalo for a year. Give him possibly a chance to recoup and reorganize his strategy for trying to get a starting spot, it sounds like, after 2021. So, you know, I wish him the best because he left a really good impression in Chicago. He was a hardworking player. There was no reason to hate on the guy, like, say, a Jay Cutler when it came to attitude or anything like that. It's just that Mitch was drafted really much too high for what it was worth. And, you know, I think it's best that he moves on from the Chicago market, because as we're seeing right now, and what would probably have been the case if Mitch stays, is they're being ravenous and someone wants a head right now. Somebody's head has to roll at some point, either midway through the season or at the end of the season, because it just continues to seem to be a decline, no matter if you are a media member or if you are a fan, in what is expected from this franchise. I'll tell you right now, it's a little bit rudderless. I don't know where they're going. I know that the Bears have a draft ahead of them. They're drafting 20th. And they're probably at some point in that draft going to do a quarterback, because let's face it, Andy Dalton, sure, he's going to be the starter day one. But besides the fact that the Bears had the third overall pick in 2017, I've seen the same song and dance before. And I'm not saying that this is going to be like 2017, where you draft like a Mitch Trubisky, you trade up that high and you get someone. But whoever the Bears draft in, most likely, I would say the second round, is probably going to be that guy that maybe, just maybe, if Nagy and Pace make it through this year, they can use as a true, we're going to sit and develop this guy. We're not going to mess it up like in 2017 when John Fox was there and desperate to keep his job. And so Andy Dalton will be in the front running. But I've seen the same song and dance before. So, yeah, Dalton's going to start, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to just go draft a QB, which they probably will. And he'll be sitting there, and if anything goes off the wall, they'll throw him under there if they want, you know, someone like possibly a Kyle Trask, a Kellen Mond, you know, those guys will be available around that time. If we're lucky, it doesn't sound like Mac Jones, but Mac Jones was talking about being there in the second round when the Bears could pick. So we'll find out. But yeah, the Red Rifle, you know, if they gave him that, it's definitely a consolidation prize for Russell Wilson. Cause though they're talking about that they have a chance to go for him again, I'm going to assume at this point, the Seahawks have moved on, and any more talk about trading him is either going to be on draft night, or it's going to be with a or it's going to be that they'll ride with him. And if it's going to be on draft night, I don't know if Chicago takes a risk at swinging, going to the top again. You know, if that was the case, the Bears would have maybe taken a chance at going for where the Miami Dolphins were drafting and try to trade up again. But, you know, Pace learned his lesson last time, and I don't know if he's exactly wanted to roll the dice again with a similar scenario. So, you know, take it as you will. Dalton is Dalton. He's going to have, I would say, a little bit better of an arm than Mitch when it comes to at least accuracy. I won't say downfield he'll have a better arm. I think Dalton, as his age, has become more of a game manager, more like a Chad Pennington always comes to mind, you know, not really a deep range thrower, but someone that's really good with the mid range. That's kind of how I go with Andy Dalton. And you need to give him a pocket. You know, if the Bears at least establish a similar pocket or at least a run first pass segmentality like Bill Lazor was doing at the end of the year, there can be some success there. So yeah, he's serviceable, 1 year, $10 million, but it's definitely amplified to the fact that they basically swung for the fences, missed, and somehow got a bunt to go for first base, if you will, in baseball references, to get Andy Dalton. You know, doesn't get you a point, but you're at least on base and you have something that's potential, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I wasn't jumping for joy as I would have if they would have acquired Russell Wilson, but I'm with you. I think, you know what, the ship has sailed for Mitch Trubisky in Chicago. At this point, I think he made the right decision to go to Buffalo, learn for a year, maybe to, you know, learn to develop or get better under a different coaching regime and see what happens. You know, like I said, I don't think his career is over. He could be a serviceable backup, maybe be a gap year quarterback for a team somewhere. I mean, he's not that bad, but to bring back what you've tried for the last 4 years, I know Andy Dalton, you know, maybe he's a little bit better in a few areas than Mitch, and maybe Mitch is better. Like, Mitch is the better, you know, better guy for being mobile. But again, I care more about, can the guy be accurate and throw a 30-yard pass and actually not overthrow the guy? You know, we saw that a lot of times with Darnell Mooney and Anthony Miller last year. I'm looking for, and you know what I really want? I just want a guy that's confident, that could, is not only capable of throwing a 10 or 15-yard pass, but also, can he make the right decisions? You know, Mitch continued to get frazzled and just would make poor decisions, and he kind of just had that, like, you know, deer in headlights look sometimes when the going got rough. Anytime he had to face adversity against whatever opponent, whatever situation in a game. So Andy Dalton comes in as a veteran that, yeah, you know what you're going to get, and his best days are behind him. But okay, let's face it, Andy Dalton had a couple of decent years. I mean, he, you know, I know some Bengal fans that make fun of having him and stuff like that. But it's like, you know what, those first couple of years of him and AJ Green, when they were actually, I know they didn't win any playoff games, but they actually made the playoffs. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and rip the guy and say he's a trash QB. He's not the guy that's going to elevate you to be a playoff contender, but. Yeah. You know, I guess it is what it is, and I'm glad they have him over, you know, they're going to go with him over Foles, because I really was worried about going with Nick Foles again.
And this puts in a really weird predicament, because Foles now, I've kind of been starting to wonder what happens with Foles, because the talk has been that he was supposed to, if he doesn't get the starting spot, he might move on. Nothing's really happened there. Dalton sounds like he's definitely the starter, so you're paying Foles a lot of money to be potentially your second or third string QB, depending on if they or when they get a draft partner, if you will, or win a quarterback that is a late sec or mid to late second rounder. So Foles to me is an interesting wild card as to what the hell happens to him at this point, because they've been trying to trade him. It hasn't happened yet. You know, Philadelphia was talking about it. They were trying to trade him to Philadelphia, not only in just more recent terms, just to get him out of here, but to get Carson Wentz at one point, which both you and I are very mixed on if we would have wanted Carson Wentz, which I don't know about you, but I would say maybe with Andy Dalton, Wentz, at least you can think upside as a positive.
I would have took Wentz over, you know, Dalton. I
changed
my stance upside, a little bit on that.
Mm-hmm. The upside potential, if you give him the tools, is what fascinates me. Although I will argue Wentz is in a better scenario in Indianapolis to succeed than he would have been in Chicago, just to put that out there. But like when it comes to the QB room right now, you know, Dalton, I like only because his press conference coming in was, he seemed like a veteran that's ready to revive his career and not just accepting his fate as a backup for the rest of his life. It sounds like he's a guy that wants to get back in the fray of being a legitimate starter. I don't know if that'll actually happen. Again, Chicago's going to have to really make sure that they continue the spirit of their protection and their course of offensive progress at the end of this last season, where Montgomery better be the focus of the run game and you take the pressure off of your pass game to where Dalton can succeed. But I like the chip on the shoulder. If anything, you know, it's nice to see that, you know, he's got 1 year, $10 million to prove that he can either go somewhere else and play or make all of us look like idiots for doubting him in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for being made look like an idiot if it's going to benefit the team. No problem there at all. And yeah, you know, it's interesting. You talk about how the draft is going to go and everything. I mean, you know, we saw a couple of teams move up, some trading being done, and like looking at Colin Cowherd, specifically his mock draft for the first 12 picks. I mean, you know, Trevor Lawrence, all signs point to him going first to Jacksonville. It was really sounding like that the Jets are going to go ahead and get Zach Wilson. Then you have Trey Lance projected to go to the 49ers, who moved up for the third pick. And then, of course, you know, Panthers maybe at 8, at least again, according to Colin, going for Justin Fields. I mean, the bottom line is the top four quarterbacks are going to go in the first 10 rounds. So the odds are the Bears are going to miss out. I mean, the only other guy would be maybe Mac Jones, but I'd be shocked if he fell to 20. I was always kind of hoping the Bears would maybe trade up with the Jets and get the second pick. I would have been fine with going for Zach Wilson or Justin Fields. I mean, either way, I mean, I don't know if you're going to see Detroit move out or Denver move out. They need some serious help in a few places too, but you may be better off not worrying about quarterback in the first round if you're not going to get one of those top guys. But you mentioned a couple of other guys that maybe they could get in say the second round. So I think it's fair to start assuming that we're not going to get our potentially future star studded quarterback in this draft. You never know, you get surprises, but we'll touch on the draft more later on, but I wanted to get your thoughts on, okay, you brought up the, you know, paying Andy Dalton, you know, for a year, you know, he's going to get $10 million in a year to prove what he could do. Okay, well, you know, it would have been nice using some of that $10 million to afford Kyle Fuller, who is currently a Denver Bronco, because apparently we couldn't afford him anymore. That I was absolutely gutted to hear that he was released. And I mean, there was rumors we were trying to trade him. We almost traded Akeem Hicks. So not only does your offense continue to have issues, but now you kind of just detracted from the defense. What are your thoughts on the fact that Kyle Fuller is gone and the fact that they almost traded Akeem Hicks? And do you at least feel like they should have at least traded Kyle Fuller to acquire some picks or something? I mean, to release him for nothing, that's somebody you should have got some kind of value out of. I find it hard to believe they couldn't find a trade partner.
Yeah, that's hard. And I feel like if they would have had someone that was wanting to pick up at least the remainder of his contract, I think that's what would have sealed it. But part of the issue with Kyle is, you know, the Bears defense as a whole had an off year overall. You know, anyway, you sugarcoat it, yeah, they finished, you know, eighth overall with, you know, defensive values, if you will. But Chicago still had a down year. It wasn't an elite defense. It really has not been that way since 2018. And Fuller has kind of gone with that trend. Last year was another at least somewhat decline in his productivity. Now, that doesn't mean that I want him out of Chicago. I wanted him here. You know, that's a team leader. That's a guy that's been through it all. Two-time Pro Bowler in 7 years. I don't really think you should let go of him. You know, still has years to give, if you will. And they had some interesting talent in the secondary. They still do. That's going to be coming back, or at least was re-signed. Like Deion Bush is coming back. If we're talking about corners in particular, I was curious at Trey Roberson's signing last year, which he wasn't able to even play, but he's still on the roster. So I wanted to see him get out on the field because he was a dominant, actually Canadian football cornerback for the Calgary Stampeders. And then you got Tolliver as well, who did an excellent job, you know, filling in when he could last year too. So, you know, you want to have a veteran presence for some of these younger guys and whoever the Bears most likely draft, because go figure, the Bears are going to probably pick up a corner. They usually seem to in these drafts, if you will, or they'll look for a safety, I would say. So I think the veteran presence alone was worth the value, but of course, adding in the factors of the Bears, not even before the shrunken salary cap, already going to be tight with the salary cap going into this year, it just was a shame because he was going to be a $20 million hit. They saved 10 for letting him go. And, you know, that's one of the bigger ones. Hicks was the other one, which I'm actually surprised they didn't let go of Hicks, because it sure sounded like they were going to do the same thing with Hicks that they did to Fuller just a day prior, where they were going to try and trade him. And if they couldn't trade him, they'd have to let him go. But I'm assuming they didn't want complete chaos in what was reported was a angry locker room. So you have to keep at least one guy on a little bit. However, it stinks, because if I were to look back, I actually would kind of want Fuller here still, maybe a little more so than Hicks, because at least I could argue that even though Hicks would move on, Eddie Goldman will be coming back this season off of, you know, exempting himself from 2020. So you would have a very capable, if not slightly better, run stopper in Goldman that you could shore up the line. And you also signed other interior linemen that can give a rush, if you will, back to deals. I mean, Mario Edwards Jr., though he's suspended for 2 games, 3-year deal. He's going to be here. He'd be much more affordable. And, you know, you would just have to bite the bullet on losing a bigger interior guy like Hicks, because it's just, I mean, they're penny pinching right now is all it was. But I miss Kyle Fuller mostly for the leadership. And of course, go figure that they cut him. And not even a day later, you see Vic Fangio, his claw go over to Kyle and just drag him over to the mountains of Rocky Colorado, if you will. And there we have it. I didn't want Fuller to move on, but I feel like the way they structured his contract just kind of forced their hand. And, you know, Fuller said the same thing too, but leadership wise, this team kind of needs some people right now. Cause I mean, you have your fans revolting. You have media being as usual as it is in Chicago these last 2 years, kind of going, what the hell's happening? And now you got players that are, you know, their leaders leaving the locker room, and they're not even certain that they're going to be seeing or expecting much out of their organization this year.
Kyle Fuller also joins former Bear Bryce Callahan in Denver. Bryce has been there for a couple of years now, but I mean, Vic gets essentially a nice chunk of his former Bears secondary over there in Denver now, which will be huge. And yeah, you know, thank God they didn't get rid of Akeem. I think, honestly, I would have probably missed Akeem just as much as I missed Fuller. I mean, there's not too many defensive tackles outside of Akeem Hicks and Aaron Donald. Maybe, you know, you might be able to bring up a few other guys, but those are probably, like, in my opinion, two of the top defensive tackles in the league today that are really disruptive. And, you know, it's a little bit concerning when you already have an offense that has a long to-do list of areas to improve, and then you decide to start wiping away some of your top defensive players. I mean, we've talked about the Bears defense helping keep the Bears as relevant and as competitive as they could be. You get a little bit worse without Kyle Fuller. You would have got a lot worse without, you know, Akeem Hicks there as well. So it's, you know, we'll have to see what happens, but you're sticking with the cornerback situation for just a little bit longer. And now this means that Jalen Johnson, who had a great rookie year, is going to get moved up to probably be the number one cornerback. The Bears also signed former Lions and Falcons cornerback Desmond Trufant. Curious to hear your thoughts about the current situation with the cornerbacks. Do you think Jalen Johnson's ready to be a number one? And what are your thoughts on Desmond Trufant, who did have kind of a down year in Detroit last year, but I mean, he had a pretty decent career with Atlanta for the last like 5 or 6 years prior to last season. So how are you feeling about Jalen becoming number one and Desmond more than likely going to become the new face and the number two guy?
Well, first I need to apologize because I got so focused on Kyle Fuller that I don't know how the heck I missed over Jalen Johnson. Trust me. I love Jalen. Last year, that was one of the few bright spots from the Bears coming out of that, is that they nailed Jalen Johnson's draft pick, or they picked for Jalen Johnson, if you will. So I think he could fill in. One of the talks has been about, you know, is, you know, can he stay healthy? You know, that's been, he has had some history with injury, so we'll find out. But he has the tools to take that number one spot. And obviously, being a rookie, you hopefully are only going to develop more and more as you are in the NFL and keep getting up to speed with the talent that you have to face. So yeah, Johnson is definitely capable. I feel like, though, Fuller would have helped that a lot. Getting another year with him, I think, would have been nice, because Fuller himself, Kyle Fuller's story is interesting, all for the fact that he was given basically a prove it year to then get his money in 2018, when he broke out as one of the more of the upper echelon of corners in the NFL for a few seasons. So, you know, if there's anyone that knows how to develop and grow at a position, Kyle Fuller has been through that story, which is kind of why I wish too he would have stayed around, because I think Johnson could have learned a bit from that, if you will. But Johnson, I think, showed last year he's up to snuff to take that spot, I think. And I mean, again, the Bears have some talents that they can, at least if they, you know, if they don't get anyone else right now, and if Desmond Trufant does, you know, lose a step, which he did lose a step in Detroit last year, which is why I also didn't mention him, because I'm not confident in Desmond Trufant. I know that he was a Pro Bowl corner at one point. I understand that. He had some solid years in Atlanta. One of my buddies on Gridiron Gallery that we talk football, you know, when it comes to those NFL shows, he's an Atlanta Hawks or Falcons fan, and he'll tell you that, you know, he has much respect for Desmond Trufant, but he knew that when they were moving on from him, it was time, and he peaked indeed when he went to Detroit, and he is not giving me much confidence that he'll be a number one. Maybe he has a resurgent year. I mean, Xavier Rhodes in Indianapolis, obviously he had a rebound, so that's a great example. You know, put him in the right system with a guy, with someone that maybe like Sean Desai, who's learned on what a good, at least for his tenure with Chicago, what a good defense should be. I mean, for God's sake, guy started with the Mark Trestman era of the Chicago Bears, went through Vic Fangio, and then, you know, here we are now. He's the defensive coordinator this year. So, you know, if there's anyone that I'll say gives me hope that he can at least rebound, or they'll put him put Trufant in a good situation, I would say Desai, for all purposes, I think is a good reason to maybe have some confidence. And the fact that I would think Trufant is more of the number two rather than having to be forced into the number one position at corner. So that could be, of course, a positive or a negative. But I think in the fact that Johnson showed last year that he's taken the right steps to challenge for that number one after one season, you know, maybe that's fine. I'm not high on Trufant personally, but, you know, the Bears need to do something, and they wanted to get someone that they could say, well, he's a Pro Bowler, and we saved a bit of cash because Kyle Fuller had his deal kind of expensive at the end. Desmond Trufant steps in. That's as simple as that. You know, like I said, otherwise you got, you know, Tolliver's out there. Like I said, had a decent season as well.
Unknowns though, you know, like mm-hmm. after Trufant and Johnson, I mean, I don't know how much I trust Shelley or Tolliver or some of those other guys. I mean, I will say, I think maybe expect to see maybe the Bears make a move in the draft for a cornerback. I think it's fair to say they may try to get somebody that's a little bit more well-known, more of a playmaker than some guys that have been, you know, fourth or fifth on the depth chart. Because also I failed to mention too, that Buster Skrine was released. So, yes, I mean, you lost two, you know, you lost two cornerbacks, which, you know, Skrine, I don't really think that's much of a loss. He wasn't bad, but I mean, again, as your third option, your nickel guy, he did okay. I thought his coverage and tackling was poor at times, but he's a guy I think you can move on from and be okay. And that's what I thought was going to happen. Like, okay, maybe they draft a guy and they fit a rookie in that nickel spot. Well, now you're looking for a number two, maybe a number one, and now you need a number three. So it's like, yeah, musical chairs at the cornerback position right now.
Shelley to me is the wild card, because I think since he's been drafted, he's never really gotten the experience that he has been needing. So this could be a possibility for him to, you know, get that, you know, camp permitting and draft permitting, of course, but, you know, at least if depending on the draft and who they pick up in that case, it's gives him a chance too. Cause I mean, like I said, Tolliver took some good steps last year and had some really nice moments. I think Shelley, when he was spotted, he was available and capable if needed. But he's someone that hasn't gotten enough on-field presence as we were promised when he was originally drafted.
More episodes of Windy City Sports Talk can be found on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast as well. We now return to Windy City Sports Talk. Now let's switch it over to offense, because that's where we usually have problems and they continue.
Here we go.
Thankfully, Allen Robinson did sign his tag. A lot of people speculated he did because he quickly realized that the free agent market wasn't very great and generous and lucrative for free agent wide receivers. I mean, you know, Kenny Galladay got a nice deal with the Giants, but I think in terms of what exactly Allen Robinson wanted, nobody that got signed in free agency got what exactly he was hoping for. So, and I do believe that. So you have Robinson who's sticking around at least for one more year. Hopefully they could get their crap together and figure that out. Anthony Miller was being shopped around. Who knows if he still gets traded. So you got, and then obviously, you know, everyone's probably hoping Javon Wims gets cut still. They missed out on Kenny Galladay, who they did talk to and they did supposedly offer a contract, but they weren't going to come anywhere close in terms of length and money. But what's your thoughts on this current wide receiver situation? Because it's, again, it's almost like the cornerback situation. You have one guy that you could rely on, you know, Jalen Johnson for cornerback, Allen Robinson for wide receiver. You think the Bears are going to take a run in the draft for a guy? And are you willing to give guys like Anthony Miller and Javon Wims another chance, maybe?
I mean, I want to give one of them a chance, probably more likely Anthony Miller, because Anthony Miller, he has flashes. Ever since he's been a rookie, he has had flashes of brilliance. He just is never consistent enough, and I almost feel is not level-headed enough at times off the field, or even at times on the field, if you will, to kind of break out. To me, he was supposed to be the ideal number two, and that has not been the case since he's come into the league. Now, that position is definitely Darnell Mooney. Mooney took that over last year, showed that, hey, I was definitely worth the later round pickup, and I can definitely be a number two across from Allen Robinson, you know, if needed, as well as a deep threat. You know, if you're given an accurate ball to throw to him, of course. There's several highlights of Darnell Mooney down the field where it's an overthrow. Shocking, right? But I mean, not to mention Allen Robinson not getting enough red zone targets, which that's a big thing too. You know, QB ties into the receiving room. You know, last year, a lot of the talk was Allen Robinson, you know, once again, being the Bears offense for the majority of the season. And yet he was not really a red zone threat at the end of the year, you know? So Darnell Mooney was getting more red zone targets than, you know, Allen Robinson, if you will, the guy that was at the top two for most contested catches last season wasn't getting the tougher catches. I mean, Jimmy Graham, of course, is a big body, and you have to think about him still being here, which I was surprised he was on the cut lists, but you know, he's still going to be here, and it could be a valuable at least red zone asset again. So, you know, we were shocked last year. Cole Kmet, hopefully we're seeing another step in that game as well, where they're using him a bit more in the receiving game. It was seeming like Bill Lazor was adjusting correctly at the end of the season for usage of, you know, his star second round tight end out of Notre Dame. So you have weapons. I think Dalton, again, if he's given a pocket, he can throw to those. I wish they would have landed Kenny Golladay if they had the money, simply for me to say, oh, goody, Allen Robinson, maybe he'll be a little happier that he signed that tag, since he's going to have, you know, a buddy right across from that is also known for heavily contested catches, and at one point was called Baby Megatron in Detroit at one point. So he wouldn't have to take all the load. I think the receiving core, you have to let go of at least someone. Like Javon Wims, I think last year set a not exactly the best tone in the locker room, and you cannot have guys like that in a make or break year for your head coaching staff or your general management. You know, that's bad. That's a bad look all around. And for a team that, like I said, is on the fringe of losing everybody, or should be losing everybody next year, if all things go south, like many of us are expecting possibly. Yeah. You're going to have to get rid of someone. At the very least, I would say Javon Wims, I think is the easier the two to let go, just because Miller had the draft stock invested into him. And I think still has potential if he's just, you know, and I hate to say it like this, gets his head out of his ass.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Well said. You know, it's I like the promise that Darnell Mooney has showed us. Allen Robinson, I'd be fine to throw as many years and as amount of money as he wants, because it's truly your building block. And again, okay, you know, you're looking for a new quarterback, you know, your future guy. Isn't it going to be better to have him get established with a guy like Allen Robinson? I mean, even Andy Dalton, he had a great rapport, a great connection with, you know, AJ Green. I mean, AJ Green and Andy Dalton were the reason why the Bengals were at least somewhat relevant, you know, back in the day in their prime. What, you know, Andy Dalton would appreciate to have a guy like, you know, Allen Robinson to throw to. And you know what I find funny, Zach, is that the Bears, you know, you've heard me say this a million times, how it was such a Bears thing to do to sign Robert Quinn when they needed offensive help. The biggest move they made last year in free agency was getting Robert Quinn, another defensive guy. Kind of seems like they're still prioritizing signing defensive players. You got, now I know, again, Desmond Trufant had to come in and replace Kyle Fuller, but and this I like this move, so I hate talking bad about it, but like Jeremiah, and I know I'm going to say his last name wrong, but Jeremiah Atachu, he's going to be some great depth to replace like a Barcavius Mingo, who I believe signed a deal with the Falcons. You know, Angelo Blackson, another defensive lineman. It's like they continue to shoot for the sky, shoot for the stars to get these defensive players to really make sure they keep a good defense and have the depth and the proper guys in the proper positions. And yet it just, it doesn't, why they didn't get another wide receiver. I don't know. It kind of blows my mind that it didn't even sound like they were much in the running for Galladay. They offered him some wimpy contract. I didn't hear anything about Corey Davis. I didn't hear anything about them going after a premier like offensive lineman besides Trent Williams, who was going to be too expensive for them. But I'm curious on what you think about how the rest of this free agency period went out, where again, it seems like the Bears always signing defensive guys. Does that mean that they're just going to go, do you think that means the Bears are just going to really try the push in the draft to go after offensive guys? I mean, you got to hope, right? Like they still need linemen. They still need wide receivers. Like you can't just go defense in the draft. Am I right?
Well, no, you can't keep doing that. And I really think that at least for your first pick at that 20th spot, you know, most mock drafts are showing that it's going to be some sort of lineman pick. Preferably possibly tackle would be nice, especially with Bobby Massey being released. You're going to want someone that is a young, high prospect in this draft. And that's really the main thing, you know, the Bears, and it's kind of weird because I had this conversation with some people as well as with my own dad, you know, this was interesting. Like the end of last year, you know, the Bears ripped off 3 wins against garbage opponents and, you know, they got smacked in the mouth by Green Bay and limped into the postseason. And, you know, for most people, it was like, for some people it was like, oh my God, we got to the postseason miraculously. Let's just be happy about that. You know, here I am, of course, I'm looking like the stick in the mud going, yeah, but it was a 6 seed, like just kind of like pointing at that. But everyone's like, shh, quiet. We made it to the postseason. That's still good. We made it. And it's like, yeah, but now we'll be higher seeded in the draft, which means we can't go for things we actually need or better stuff. And then like, I'm looking like people are like, and we're just, this is the conversation with my dad. My dad just loves seeing him win. And me, I'm just like, yeah, but the long-term picture, now look what you've done, you know? And of course they went and lost to the New Orleans Saints. Closer game than I thought, I'll say that. But in reality, they weren't up to snuff, as we all knew at the end of the year. And they ripped off 3 games and got in and luckily made it the 6th seed. So now we have to talk about, well, there's that 20th. So what do you do? You know, you're not high enough for a quarterback. And the Bears, like I said, they've tried and traded for Russell Wilson. So there was your big swing. They're kind of locked up with cap. That was something I also looking at the end of the year as we were going into the postseason going, oh, gee, even if we make it through a few rounds, if we get through the first round, you know, the cap situation is going to have a few things to answer questions. We've gotten through that stage, but it just, you need to, you're going to have to rely on the draft. That was something that, no matter what was going to happen at the end of the season, in the end of 2020, you were going to have to rely on the draft because the Bears kind of locked themselves up in cap. They weren't going to be big spenders. They talked to Kenny Galladay, but in reality, my first thought when I heard that was, what money are they throwing at him? Where is this cash?
Plus, I think it was a 1-year deal. I'm like, this guy's going to get offered a 4 or 5 year deal from all these other teams. He wanted like an $80 million contract or something. I'm like, okay, one year for like $10 million, whatever, you know, some standard 1-year deal is what they wanted to do. I'm like, no way, he's not coming here. And like, really?
With the acceptance of rebuilding, I still question why did I know he was injured most of last season, like Kenny Galladay, but I don't even really agree with Detroit letting him walk out the door when you have Jared Goff coming into the building and now he can only throw to TJ Hockenson, which great tight end. But that it should not be your number one choice.
I think Kenny wanted to leave, though. I think Galladay wanted to leave.
I mean, that might be it, too. You know, I mean, he did sit out. He was injured at the end of the year, but there were talks he could have made it back for several of the weeks at the end of the season. So I'm not in disbelief of that either. But when they mentioned Kenny Galladay was even being talked to by the Bears, like when Matt and when Nagy and Pace were sitting down, you know, for lunch with them, I'm just thinking again, you know, what money are you going to give them? There's not really much money, even like a shortened year aside, the Bears were going to always be locked up in the cap space scenario. They were not going to have the cash. So it's just added on to the pile on it. Not only do you make the postseason, you back up your draft stock, but you have no money to pay for free agents because you paid guys like Robert Quinn, like a Jimmy Graham, a lot of cash, or you paid someone like, you know, Eddie Jackson a lot of money, which, by the way, Eddie Jackson really needs to get his stuff in gear this year if you want to exemplify that contract too, because last year was a very down year for a Pro Bowl safety getting paid at top safety money. Just saying, that's another spending type of item that you have to knock Matt, you know, Ryan Pace for, along with the Robert Quinn signing, which, you know, yes, it was cheaper last year, but, you know, two sacks at a $1.5 million a pop still doesn't sound very good for a base salary pay, because that's all Robert Quinn did was two sacks on, you know, very on pretty much 60%-ish of the times he was actually in on defense, you know, because limited percentage was what was the key, except it actually didn't get to 10 sacks like they were expecting. So, you know, they were always going to be stuck. So draft is definitely the strategy. So you have your chance to draft offense. It's just the Bears also are historically a draft defense first type of organization. And even with Pace, that still seems to be kind of the trend that they follow.
But and even, you know, and I think it's important, like the reason why it's important to talk about Kenny Galladay and the Lions here is because that's another position that is going to go quick in this draft. I mean, you know, the Lions are projected to probably draft a wide receiver with the seventh pick in the first round. And that's more than likely either going to be Ja'Marr Chase or it's going to be Devontae Smith. So, and once those two guys go, and also I think Waddle is in this draft. There's a couple of other guys, but yes. I mean, probably the top five wide receivers are also not going to be available by the time the Bears move up. And I actually, I mean, my opinion, I'm going wide receiver or quarterback in the first round. I mean, I'm okay with an offensive lineman. I have no problem with that. But like, if the Bears do move up, even if they move from 20 to 15, I think when you get, if you're talking a trade up from like the 20th pick to maybe 15th or 13th or 17th, or whatever, if they move up a couple, the odds are you're probably going to get a wide receiver or a lineman. But if they even found a way to move up and to be able to grab a decent wide receiver, I would be okay with that. You know, you're probably going to miss out on a good quarterback in this draft, and that's fine. You know, and again, there's nothing wrong with getting somebody else in the second or third round, and you just groom him, see what he has. You know, Ryan Pace, and somebody also pointed this out from Sports Mockery on Twitter a couple of days ago. Ryan Pace, there's one thing he hasn't fulfilled that he said in a press conference many years ago when he first started becoming the GM of the Bears. Said he wanted to draft a quarterback every year, you know, always have somebody new to give a chance to. He's only drafted one, and that's Mitchell Trubisky. So, you know, I don't know what the deal is with that. And look, I don't necessarily believe in having to draft a quarterback every year, you know, sometime, because ideally after the 2018 season, you felt good about Mitch. So, and he's still so young at the time. You're like, okay, let's beef up the offense. Let's attack what other positions we need to get. We're good at quarterback. But the fact that they haven't been, you know, great, you know, they haven't been situated at quarterback for even before the days of Mitch. They haven't drafted as an organization. I'll even, because it goes even beyond, you know, Ryan Pace. So that's just interesting too, that when you look at the draft, I don't know what the heck they're going to do, because two of their biggest positions, they're going to be outplayed if they don't move up in the draft. So that's what I want to ask you about next is, What do you think happens in the first round? Could you envision the Bears trading up to get a quarterback or wide receiver or anything? Or do you think they're probably going to stay put with 20? And do you kind of have the sense that I have, or at least the hopeful sense of, okay, maybe we'll just load up the offense with young, talented players in the draft?
I think maybe they are still in play to possibly do now a draft night trade if you want. I mean, that you can't take it off the table. I mean, Ryan Pace has done this type of thing before. The question, of course, comes to, you know, are you going to play it safe? Because again, the theory is that, you know, if they have another bad year, this would be, you know, another year under their belt or possibly a non-playoff season, that you're talking about potential firing at the end of the season. So for an organization that has kind of a, you know, top brass that are kind of pulling at the collar, if you will, from pressure, from already having pressure heated up on them, you know, I wonder if maybe that is you could do as a swing. You know, I think for that position, if you didn't trade, you would have to sit there and be like, oh, please let, like, say a Mac Jones land at my doorstep, which not even everyone agrees on Mac Jones. I mean, one of our own colleagues on Press Box, Cody Emerson, doesn't even like Mac Jones whatsoever. You know, and there's reasons for that. You know, you stack a guy with a lot of talent, 1 year starter, we've been there, So, you know, I get that. But unless the Bears give some sort of crazy package or do the same one they did with Wilson, trying to give it to like one of the top two spots, you know, you're not going to get that top quarterback. You know, Trey Lance, he's kind of all over the board. That's the only one I can think of that maybe he slides just because it's raw talent, you know, D2 school, but although it is North Dakota State, most dominant D2 school in the nation. That's the only thing I could think of is, you know, maybe he slides, you trade up and he's still there for someone in like the mid rounds or the upper mid rounds, if you will. But, you know, I think for the, all intents and purposes, I really do believe the Bears will draft someone at a tackle spot, shore up the line for your run first, pass second offense that was working at the end of the year. Credit, it was against lighter talent, but Bill Lazor had a concept that was at least a direction that made sense with the talent that was there. And they picked up Damian Williams too for a 1-year deal, which, you know, depending on how Lazor uses him, that's another talented back with a healthy Tariq Cohen mixed in with David Montgomery. I think that's a run first concept. So to me, you pick up at least a top tier tackle at that position, you run with that, and I think you go with a second round QB or receiver at that point. If you're that now, if you're bought in completely to Andy Dalton, like if the Bears are not doing a smoke and mirrors campaign like we all were given when Mike Glennon was signed back in 2017, then yeah, they'll go pick up a receiver, honestly, in the second round, like they've been doing with either tight ends or with receivers in years past under Ryan Pace. And they'll roll with that is what I think could happen. And then at that point, you might be having at least like, say, not even Javon Wims, but Anthony Miller then could be on the block for someone that is, you know, a training camp casualty later on. But that second round pick, I think, is more the key as to what the Bears will be looking at moving forward. Because there are quarterbacks that have potential in the second round. Like Kellen Mond was the Senior Bowl MVP. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to translate to the NFL, but that's something you have to look out for. Kyle Trask, career year, even though, and he was a 2-year starter at Florida, though there's some questions there, you know, and there's a few and far in between that you can look at that position too. But lineman to me, if you are going to go with what was working, makes the most sense at that 20th spot if you are not trying to trade. And I think it's going to be hard for the Bears to trade up to get all that top tier QB class, considering all those teams up there are basically desperate for one, just like the Bears are.
I tell you what, if by chance, and I'm kind of hoping this chance happens, if Mac Jones falls out of the top 10, if I'm Ryan Pace, I'm getting on the phone with whoever's got the 11th, 12th, or 13th. I'm going to try to move up. If for whatever reason, one of the top receivers falls out of the top 10, I'm moving up. They, you know, the offensive line, okay, they got one or two gaps to fill, and then maybe it's really just replacing Bobby Massey. They brought Afidi back. So I think, you know, of course you may want to get one or two guys for depth too, but if you can just draft a guy that can replace Bobby Massey, you really, you know, I think you could afford to even wait till the second or third round to get an offensive lineman. If you could get a talented quarterback or a star-studded wide receiver, if they make it out of the top 10 of that draft, you freaking move up. I think, you know, Ryan Pace is usually good for being aggressive and making some kind of trade in every draft. You know, he's always done something to be aggressive, and I appreciate the fact that he takes shots. Problem is he fails, he misses on a lot of these shots. But again, if you got a guy that makes it out of the top 10, that's a truly star-studded playmaking guy for on offense, whether it's quarterback, wide receiver, you don't really need a tight end right now. You don't really need a running back. So it's really, again, quarterback or wide receiver. Don't be afraid to move up, because if you're going to try to keep this thing afloat and not hit a rebuild and try to, again, the goal I thought has always been to make this offense legit as possible before this defense, you know, runs out of gas and they need to be rebuilt. I don't know if that's going to happen. They got to do it soon. So I'm looking for them to try to make a serious move here if somebody slips through the cracks in the first, you know, 10 picks. So right. Zach, as we wrap up here, oh, one last thing I want to bring up, because I know a lot of people had fun talking about this too. Back in March, Tom Herman was hired as an offensive analyst / special projects coach. Fancy name there. The Bears have invested a lot of offensive-minded coaches more than offensive players, it seems like, over the last 2 years. Curious about your thoughts of adding Tom Herman with Matt Nagy and DeFilippo and everybody else. I've seen people talk on Twitter that this seems to be a too many, you know, chefs in the kitchen type of thing, where just too many guys that are going to have ideas that can't really figure it out, or, you know, everybody's going to be fighting for their philosophy to be used. I mean, Tom Herman had some success in college football, as we know, with Houston, not so much with Texas, but I mean, that was a heck of a run that he had in Houston there for just a few seasons. It sounds like an exciting name, but I'm just not convinced that bringing in another guy that might have some good offensive philosophies is really going to change anything when they don't have the talent. So I'm curious about your thoughts on the Tom Herman hiring, and does it really matter, or does it, is it really coming down to you need the players and not just the decision makers at this point?
Well, first off, I think it was bad timing again. Like, you're picking up a special projects coach for a team that A, is struggling offensively, but B, from a coach that was just fired from a top program in college. Now, you know, credit, Tom Herman did have a great run at Houston. I would say that he was put in a situation in Texas where you have, you know, at least the likes of sponsors and backers of the program that were just wanting instant success again, and that was going to be plug and play. Because, I mean, if we're talking about college football, Texas has been struggling to get back to relevance for a few years, at least in terms of, you know, one of the big boys in the sport again. So Herman, I think, was put in a bad spot. You know, he was really gonna have to rely on recruiting classes and didn't work out. So the success is there. He's worked out. I don't know. Like, yeah, it's too many cooks. Like, honestly, Bill Lazor last year, he had a dead game with Nick Foles. But again, when you had it focused on run first, pass second after games where Mitch Trubisky was put in, you know, the run first mentality of those games, Mitch did play better, but it was with bad defensive competition. You know, the things that stick out in those contests were that David Montgomery was the focus of that offense. So yeah, John DeFilippo's in the room, but he's really more, in my opinion, for quarterback kind of at least analysis, if you will, you know, but Bill Lazor's the one I'm more focused on. Last year, I thought he proved that, hey, if there's a direction this offense should go, is to the traditional Bears offense until we at least get a quarterback. So, you know, what are the Bears historically known for? Defense and the running game. So why not go back to that? It was working. They adjusted the offensive line to the right personnel, one of them being Alex Barrs, mind you, and it was successful, you know. And I honestly don't see why you shouldn't go away from that. Yeah, Tom Herman's in there, but honestly, by the time the season starts, I'm going to almost forget that he is in that role. It's one of those, like, kind of away, like, just like guy on the shoulder type of roles, if you will, like, hey, what do you have in this situation type of advice? Like, that's all I think about. Like, it's another cook in the kitchen, but after last year, and I think from what it all sounds like, Lazor has more of the reins on the play calls anymore. And I think he proved why last season, is that he knows his personnel better than Nagy does, I think. So I'm more focused on Bill Lazor, especially as we're talking about with Andy Dalton. Those two have a connection. So that's another thing I'm at least like, if I'm going to give another chip on shoulder type of thing, as well as for at least the pairing, that's the thing I'm going to be paying attention most, is what does Lazor do with a guy that he's comfortable with when he was there at the guy's prime, which was Andy Dalton's prime back around 2013 through 2015.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Lazor too. Yeah, so he's got that Bengals Andy Dalton connection. He's the one name I forgot to mention. So yeah, you know, Zach, my final thoughts on it is I'm not against the move. I don't think it's bad to have a couple guys that have had success. And again, when a team like the Bears has sorely missed some offensive spark and talent and some ideas to be up there with, you know, good offenses like Tampa and the Chiefs and some of the other teams that, you know, the Packers, you know, it's and the Ravens. I mean, the list goes on. There's, you know, five or 10 good teams that just, you know, they not only have the talent, but they just have good playmaking ability, good coaching. I'm not against the Tom Herman hiring. It's just, I'm not going to be convinced or that pumped until you bring in another star-studded wide receiver, until you can confirm that Allen Robinson's going to be here for longer. I like them signing Damian Williams. That is one offensive player that they did buy, or they did sign recently too, which I liked, because, and I know we were texting some of our Beyond the Press Box pals about this too. I'm okay with the signing because you need to have two or three different running backs to use. You know, Tariq Cohen's going to be a special teams guy, and you know, the specialty play, like the screenplay guy. I mean, he's coming off a torn ACL too, so I'm hoping he's the same player. So Damian Williams actually is going to be probably a pretty good backup with David Montgomery. So, but again, not against the Tom Herman the hiring here, but they got to acquire some more talent, man. They got to get some more playmakers, some more talent. I mean, you see teams like the Chiefs, Tampa. I mean, they got five different receivers they could throw to. They got tight ends. They have multiple running backs. So, and then of course you got to plug in that hole left by Bobby Massey's departure. So a lot to be done in the draft. I hope they get it done. And I really hope they focus mostly, you know, I know they probably need to invest in another cornerback, maybe another middle linebacker, but you know, a little depth on defense, fine, but I think 80% of those picks in this draft this year have to go the offense at this point. So we'll have to see what happens. But Zach, thank you so much for joining the show today. Again, remember everybody, Beyond the Press Box, we are on the Unhinged Sports Network. So is Gridiron Gallery, Zach's show. Maybe one day I'll get Windy City Sports Talk on there once I get back into a consistent production for this show again. I might be joining the ranks there as well too, so be sure to check out everything at Unhinged Sports Network, of course Gridiron Gallery, as well Beyond the Press Box, Windy City Sports Talk. You could find both of these podcasts through anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get a podcast. I mean, this Anchor sends it out to like 9 different different podcasting sites at this point. So be sure to literally just Google any of these podcasts on Google and you're going to find them. So again, if you're bored, I don't want to hear it, you got plenty of different podcasts to listen to. So Zach, thanks again for coming on the show today.
Hey, thanks, man. I always appreciate it. Just stapling or punching out another hole in my rewards card.
Yes, true. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna get you a red rifle, okay? Like kind of like from the Christmas Story movie, and get a little picture of Andy Dalton next to it, maybe for target practice.
Just like, look, I don't think I'll shoot my eye. You know. I think I'll be fine.
You probably a more accurate shot than that Mitchell Trubisky ever was with throwing the football. So. But anyways, all right. Thanks again, Zach. I know I'll be bugging you again for something else too. So as always, thanks for coming on, and everybody take care. And next week, more Blackhawks talk coming up. Have they lied to us? Are they not good anymore? We will find out. Stay tuned next week for another great interview talking Blackhawks. Thanks for listening to Windy City Sports Talk. To find more great episodes, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast on anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, Overcast, and Radio Public. Thanks again for listening, and be well.